Once from my poor sin sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day.
Every once in a while, when I'm going around and visiting the hospitals, I'll take some house-to-houses with me or some tracts, and I'll lay them down at different places, just hoping that maybe somebody would pick them up and that they would learn a little bit about the truth. And usually when I'm doing that, sometimes I come across other religious pamphlets of other religious groups, and I've deliberated whether or not I should take those up. There's a point of panic there, you know. But I figure for my own education, I will pick those up and I'll read them myself and see what they have to say. And they're, a lot of them are from the Jehovah's Witness organization. And it's interesting to me in the last few years, particularly, some of the pamphlets that I have gotten from them almost didn't seem like religious pamphlets in some ways. They almost seemed a little more like the hospital had planted them there rather than somebody trying to evangelize or convert people to their cause. And I thought it was interesting. They have a lot of things that they talk about as far as eating, you know, how to prepare and eat mushrooms or different things that will help you with your diet. There's a lot of things about anxiety disorders or about conflict management and things that are kind of general like that, that everybody, whether or not you believe in God or anything, would respond to. And the interesting thing, too, is Jenna Woods gave a copy of this to Jerry Thursday night, but Jehovah's Witnesses have also started to invite people to the Thursday before Easter to a memorial. And the thing that seems interesting to me about that is that they believe it's wrong to celebrate any holiday, Easter or Christmas or even their own birthday. But I began to think about this a little bit and read some other people from some other people that have confronted them. And it's interesting to me that I think that they're following kind of in the trend that a lot of churches have for a while. You know, mainstream churches for a while have given up really preaching hard on their distinctive doctrines. Now, you might find it from time to time, but usually they're not about debating those or holding to those or anything like that. They're more about just how-to guides and to improve your life here. And you can understand that in some sense in mainstream denominations, but when you have a group like the Jehovah's Witnesses that are willing to knock on people's doors, when they followed suit, then you know that there's been quite a shift, and they're doing it as well. And so tonight, what I want us to look at is the decline in doctrine. I think that there's a lot of people today that aren't really concerned about doctrine. They don't think doctrine's that important. Of course, the word doctrine means simply teaching, but they don't really give a lot of concern to doctrine because there's just too much time involved in trying to study the Bible and figuring out all that. What they want is something simple, something that's going to help their daily life here, and they don't really want to have to spend the time and the effort to figure out those things. And I think that as the church, we obviously need to be concerned about people's lives here, but the Lord's church is more than just giving diet tips or anger management tips or ways to improve your life and make it easier. You know, we are not just, our main focus as the Lord's church should not be just saving people from anxiety or hardship or conflict in their life. What our main focus should be is saving the souls of men. And I think that a lot of people have, in our day and age, aren't even concerned about not going to heaven. The issue of heaven and hell, that's already been settled to them. Obviously, they're going to heaven regardless of what they believe. They're sincere. And so it doesn't matter what you teach. They're going to go there anyway. And so now their focus is more on how do I improve my life here? You know, the Bible says that doctrine matters, that doctrine is important, that doctrine does have something to do with your salvation. And so all of us are going to have to deal with the doctrine one day or another. Either we're going to deal with it here, or we're going to deal with it in the day of judgment. I want to read from 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, these two books that Paul writes to a young preacher, and to consider some things that he says to Timothy about doctrine. The first one I want to read is 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Notice Paul says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." I was in a Bible study a few years back with a lady who, she said, "Well, I don't want to get into doctrinal issues. Doctrine's not a big deal. I just want to get to the, you know, I just want to talk about the gospel." Well, was doctrine a big deal to the inspired apostle Paul? He says, "Charge them that they teach no other doctrine." It's very important. And then he goes on to say, "Neither give heed to fables and any endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. That's empty talk. Do you think there's a lot of, in our pulpits, in different places in the world, and in our society, do you think there's a lot of vain jangling? That's not a term we use a lot today, right? It's like, well, he's just a bunch of vain jangling. We think somebody brought in a instrumental music or something. I don't know. We wouldn't know what they were talking about. But there is a lot of empty talk, isn't there? And these people had turned from the truth into vain jangling, into empty talk. And so it says in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherever they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, healthy teaching, sound doctrine. So all of these sins that are listed here are contrary to sound doctrine. Sin still is sin, even though people might want to rename it something or turn a blind eye to it. Sin is still sin, and sin is against sound doctrine. Now notice this. People say, well, don't bother me with church doctrine. I just want to talk about the gospel. Read the next verse. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. What is according to the glorious gospel? Well, verse 10 says, sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel. You see, people have manufactured a distinction between gospel and doctrine that the Bible does not recognize. To teach the gospel is to teach doctrine, and to teach doctrine is to teach the gospel. They're one and the same. There is no difference. Sound doctrine is according to the glorious gospel of the Son of God. Now go to chapter 4 of this book. Chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have some more statements here about doctrine. And doctrine is used in a good sense in the singular. Did you know that there's a place here where doctrine is used in the plural? And it's used in a bad sense of different doctrines. Notice it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So you mean that, Paul, you're saying that the Spirit is revealing that in this last dispensation of time, this last age of time, the Christian age, people will turn from the truth and they'll start ascribing to all these different teachings, all these different doctrines. Yeah, that's right. And so to have multiple doctrines is something that God condemns. It's called doctrines of devils. But to have the one pure sound doctrine, the gospel, that's what God wants, isn't it? And so, doctrines of devils is what they're going to give into. Notice this, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They don't feel guilty over sin anymore. They've calloused that. They have that seared with a hot iron. There's no feeling anymore. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And so people would fall away from the truth and they would go into these different doctrines. Now, look at the last verse in this chapter, verse 16. Paul says to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Why is the doctrine so important? Well, notice, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And as I've mentioned before, these were words written particularly to Timothy. There was a certain historical moment that these fulfill. Timothy was one that was inspired by the Spirit, had the gift of prophecy that is mentioned here. And these people in Ephesus likely did not have all of the New Testament yet. And so Timothy is telling them what God wants them to do. Now, we today have the completed Bible. And even if you don't have a preacher up here, which sometimes you might think that's great, you could at least get the Bible and you could open it. You know, there are some places out in the country that still do that. They don't have any regular preacher, but somebody gets up and they read from the Word of God, and there's some benefit there. I think there's more benefit when somebody understands and is able to explain it to the people. But at least we have all of God's revelation with us, right? And we need that. We need that teaching. But notice how important that teaching is. He says to Timothy, you continue in this doctrine because if you do, you're going to save yourself. So you mean somebody can be lost if they don't teach the right doctrine? Oh, yes. And those that hear you. The reason doctrine is so important is because it is a salvation issue. If you're teaching false doctrine, you're going to lose your own soul and the souls of those that believe you. And so that's why Paul is so serious with Timothy about doctrine. Now, I know that it might be, you know, not the trend to teach doctrine, but these words that God has given to us, this teaching, this doctrine, is something we need whether it is popular or not, whether people want it or whether they don't want it. And so we need the doctrine, which brings us then to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Timothy is told here the importance of doctrine coming from the Word of God, from Scripture. You see, doctrine can be wrong and false if it just comes from somebody's think-sos. The only way to know that you have true sound doctrine is if it comes from the Bible, the Word of God. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means it's for our good. That means I can't leave it off and say, well, you know, nobody needs that anymore. No, we need the Bible. It's for our good. It's profitable. For what? Well, he says it's profitable for reproof, shows us where we're wrong. For correction, shows us how to be right. I help you a little bit if I say, hey, you're doing that wrong. I help you more if I say, this is how you do it. You do it right this way. The Bible shows us where we're wrong, shows us how to be right, correction. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, throughly furnished, that's fully equipped unto all good works. And so the Bible is this body of truth that fully equips us to everything we need to know and everything we need to do to live a good life before God that's pleasing to Him, that will lead us to eternal life. Now, verse 1 of chapter 4 goes on with this thought. You know, we realize that chapters in the Bible were added later, hundreds of years later. But sometimes still, even in recognizing that, we make these mental barriers there, and sometimes we shouldn't. So go on to chapter 4 and look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore, that is based on what has just been said, that all Scripture is profitable for these things, that it's from God, that is God-breathed. Therefore, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick, that is the living, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now, this is a serious charge. Paul's charging him before God and for Jesus Christ, where they're going to be judged by, preach what? Preach how to eat something better? Preach how to reduce anxieties? All those things are okay. But is that what I'm supposed to get up here and preach? Preach the Word. People need the Word of God. No matter what age it is, no matter whether it's popular or not, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Now, I talk about these old country churches. Some of them would think, you know, they had a preaching season, like in the summer, where some of the preachers that preached in the congregations that were larger were able to travel out to these back roads and would preach for them in the afternoon and then come back. And so they thought that meant in season. But the idea here is here whether they want it or whether they don't want it. So we're living in a time when people just don't really want serious Bible doctrine. A lot of the religious books that are sold are just kind of a lot of feel-good, fluff, you know, self-improvement stuff, which is good. But, you know, people can give you that don't have any knowledge about God's Word, right? So a lot of things can be given that way, and they might like that better. But what they really need is God's Word, don't they? Whether they want it or whether they don't want it. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That is, you show them when they're wrong. I would not be doing my job as a preacher if I never pointed out where we might be wrong in something. But then I also wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't give us some encouragement from God's word. And so that's the exhortation there. And then he goes on to say, you do this with all long-suffering. Do people change very quickly? They don't, do they? You have to be patient. Because when I was a young preacher, what you still thinking I am a young preacher. When I was a young preacher, I thought I could preach one sermon and people would change like that. Oh, he preached on it. It's covered. We're going to change. Well, I hope people will still change based on one sermon. But I wised up a little bit to that. I need a little more patience and long-suffering. So with all long-suffering, and notice this, and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound or healthy doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is, we want a preacher that's going to tell us things that just make us feel good, that help us to have an easier life here, that don't broach any subjects that are serious like sin and going to hell or anything like that and avoiding any topics like that. We want somebody that's just going to keep things upbeat and tell us how much we're loved and how great everything is. Now, the Bible is very uplifting, and it has some truly wonderful passages that tell us how much God loves us, but it also has some very, very serious admonitions that we can't remove. And so people will turn from this, and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want their ears scratched. You take a dog and you scratch its ears, it'll lay there all day long. That's my experience. You can do the same thing with a pig. You know, you can take a corn cob and rub that pig's ears, and it'll lay there all day. Well, some people are like that. Some people are like dogs and hogs when it comes to teaching. They just want whatever's going to make them feel good. They don't want the truth. They don't want something that's truly from God's word. They want something that's just going to make them feel good. And so they heap to themselves teachers, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But he says to Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You've got to go through some suffering as a preacher, Timothy. And then he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to them also, all them that love his appearing. So Paul wrote these words when he was on the verge of death. This is the last letter that we have written from him in the New Testament. And when Paul looked at the idea that he was about to die, he wasn't going to tell Timothy what he ought to eat or how to avoid certain anxieties or how to do this or that as far as making his life easier. He realized the important thing was to preach the word to people, because that's the only way they were going to be saved. And he said, you need to fight the good fight. I appreciate Denny's prayer earlier that people would join the fight. Christianity is a fight. He told Timothy, you need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so Christianity is not just about sitting back and trying to make my life as easy and avoid any anguish or any conflict or anything that might be unpleasant to me in life. It's about fighting against the devil who wants to take my soul away. It's about fighting against sin. It's about enduring to the end and being faithful to God. And so, as much as doctrine might be in decline among the masses, we still need to preach it, because it's the only way people are going to be saved. It's the only way, through sound doctrine, that somebody can say what Paul told Timothy, that I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, and now I have this crown of righteousness laid up for me. It's the only way you're going to get to that point is through sound, healthy doctrine of preaching the word. Now, there's one other thing I want to look at before we stop for tonight, and that's this. In John chapter 6, Jesus had the masses following him because he fed thousands of people with a little bit of food. And there are several crowds that followed him to the other side of the sea, and they wanted to seek him, and they wanted to follow him. And he turns to them and he says, "You have sought me not because you saw the miracle and believed, but because your stomachs were filled with the loaves." And so he said, "Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth to everlasting life." Is eating the right food important? It sure is. It makes you feel a lot better. But you know, there are things that are a lot more important when it really comes down to it that you need to take care of first. And that's, are you imbibing of the Word of God? Are you taking Jesus and are you living according? Because he can give you eternal life. The bread here will only allow you to live on earth. Jesus gives you eternal life that can make you live forever. And so Jesus has some hard sayings for them in John 6. And when he really starts preaching to them and giving them some doctrine, the people begin to leave him. In verse 66, we find that many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. Now, did Jesus say, "Well, I didn't realize this would be so unpopular. Maybe I should change my tactics"? Did he run back to them and say, "Wait, I'm sorry, let's talk, let me give you some more bread and let's talk a little more and let me give you some tips on this or that and maybe you can come back to me"? No, he didn't. He let them go. And he turned to the 12 and he said, "Will you leave also?" And Peter made an astonishing statement that's very true, like he did sometimes. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Amen. No matter how many centuries may pass, no matter whether or not it's popular, this word is the word of eternal life. And it's what we need if we're going to go to heaven. And so maybe you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel and you need to. We're here to tell you that the true doctrine comes from the Bible. And that's what you need the most. Jesus said in John 7, verse 17, "If any man will do his will," that is, if you desire to do the will of God, "you'll know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether I speak of God." You see, the doctrine of Jesus Christ is the doctrine of God. And that's why it's so important for us to come in contact with his words. And so Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins." John 8, 24, you've got to believe. Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Luke 13, 3, also verse 5. So you've got to turn from your sins. You've got to repent. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10, 32 and 33. So you have to confess your faith in Christ before men. And then Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So you must be baptized into Christ in order to be saved. If you've done those first things and you've wandered away, Jesus has some words for you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, he concludes in that letter and he says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And so if you need to come back and repent and come back to the Lord and be faithful, we invite you to do that as well. And stay in the true, sound doctrine, which is able to save your souls. Why not come, let together we stand while we sing.
Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be as feeble, friend. What
Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow.